Z1077 welcomes you to Up Close, a weekly public affairs program presented by Z1077 News. You're invited to call in with your questions and comments. Our call-in number is 366-8471. Now, your host for Up Close, Gary Danielle.
Well, thank you, mystery announcer, wherever you are, and welcome to the Z1077 Up Close Show for this beautiful, my goodness, the weather scores is October 6, 2023. I'm Gary Danielle, the host of the Z1077 Up Close Show. Our producer is Michelle Alley. Our phone number for you to participate is 760-366-8471, and I'm delighted today to have one of my favorite people in studio live to talk about one of my favorite events. We have Chris Gubler from Gubler Orchids, and today it's all about the Morongo Basin Orchid Festival. Chris Gubler, welcome to the Z1077 Up Close Show.
Thank you, Gary. It's great to be here again.
This is like an annual event now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. I mean, not just the Orchid Festival. I'm talking about you being on this show the Friday before, so we're just delighted to have you.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know how busy you are, so... Let's talk a little bit about Chris Gubler and Gubler Orchids, then we'll talk about the Orchid Festival. Now, you are a third-generation orchid grower. Tell us how that got started with your family and when. It's a fascinating story. And then we'll drag out of you how that came from Switzerland to Landers.
Well, to the best of our knowledge, Gubler Orchids was founded in 1908. It was not just orchids, but tropical plants, cactus. It was one of the biggest nurseries in Switzerland. And as time progressed, my grandfather retired, and the oldest son, Heinrich, took over the business and left my dad kind of in limbo. My father moved to the United States in 1952, and he was a scholarship awardee for the Missouri Botanical Garden, counting chromosomes of cymbidium orchids.
What do you do for a living? I count chromosomes.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then in 54, he got a call from a producer named Arthur Freed, who was involved in some big Hollywood productions, and the director asked him if he'd like to move to Malibu and run his orchid nursery.
Cool. I didn't have to ask him twice, I suspect.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. He said when, and he jumped on the next flight to L.A. and ran that nursery for about 4 years, and then started his own company here in the States.
Okay, so he ran the nursery for this Hollywood producer in Malibu, then split off and opened his own. Where was that located?
That was in Ojai, was the first Gubler Orchids, and then it moved to Pasadena, believe it or not, near my high school in growing up, and then it moved to Temple City, and then we purchased Landers 48 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Sure.
And you were going to high school through that process?
Yes.
You mean you're older than 48? I find that hard to believe. So.
Younger than you, though.
So, that's true. There are antiques. Anyway, your dad moved around and then finally ended up in Landers. That was because it was good property values, or...?
There was four seasons. There was no air pollution at that time. We could produce a better quality orchid. Flowers would last longer. So those were the reasons to move.
And how long ago was that you got two Landers? You said 48 years ago?
48 years ago.
My goodness gracious. And look at what's happened since then. Was it your dad or you who came up with basically your whole nursery is a big swamp cooler? Who came up with that concept? That's every time I go to see Gubler Orchids, I just get a big smile how they figured out how to grow these delicate tropical flowers in the desert by using the desert climate. It's just so smart.
Well, we use that term mainly because people identify with it. They know what a swamp cooler is.
Yeah.
People don't really understand what a fan and pad system is. But we upgraded that whole system in Landers about 3 years ago, and the efficiency is remarkable. The cooling properties and things have increased about 30%. So...
And I'm going to describe what I'm talking about. The nursery is a large building, And practically one entire wall is pads with water coming through. Then you've got big fans on the other side of the entire building, so that air is being pulled through the entire nursery. And again, it's remarkable to look at, and it works really well.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. And you know, the orchids that are near the cooling wall, the temperature is about 72, and as the air goes across the nursery, it goes up to about 12 to 15 degrees when it leaves the building. So we put the cool stuff by the wall, the warmer stuff by the fans, and
it works out great.
Perfect.
Now, I'm not going to talk about the Lucerne Valley site yet, because that's become sort of your crown jewel, but let's talk about the Lander site. In Landers, how much square footage is Gubler Orchids in Landers?
We have 42,000 square feet in production. Landers is really a wonderful place because it's tourist friendly. We don't use every inch of space to grow. We have a lot of walkways so that people can enjoy themselves there.
And a lot of people show up just to take a tour, right?
Yeah, that people come and they drive an hour from Palm Springs, usually on a bad golfing day weather-wise, and they come up and they walk around. And, you know, when you leave the nursery in Landers, people always say, how do you do it up here in nowhere land? And we say we love it up here, and we do a great job. So
you do a great job. And the orchid has grown in 48 years. I'm talking about the whole nursery operation. Gubler Orchids provides orchids. What percentage of orchid do you guys provide in the country? Because you're everywhere.
Well,
have you ever done that? Have you ever figured out that statistic?
No, we haven't. We know that we're in the top six nurseries in the country, and we're fortunate enough to deal with 400 Lowe's stores on the west from Alaska all the way to Texas, and we deal with the Kroger companies, the Ralphs, the Food for Less. We're working on adding Smith's in Las Vegas now. And so they're diverse Vallarta markets, which is a predominantly Hispanic market. They do a great job. And so we ship out on average about 20,000 orchids a week.
20,000 a week. My goodness gracious. And, of course, Landers isn't the primary spot now. You've moved most of the growing operation to Lucerne Valley.
Yes, that's correct. We have a three-acre nursery complex in Lucerne Valley. That's closed to the public, basically. We have two aisles, Main Street and Broadway, and you can't stand around or you get run over by a cart. So.
Do you have little street signs at Main Street and Broadway?
We should do that, I know.
Yeah.
But we all the shipping's there, and UPS and FedEx drop their semi-trailers so that we can fill them up, and then they pull them out, and off they go.
Now, you're one of the biggest customers for UPS in California.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't think
I keep
that.
Giving you all these best of titles, Chris.
Well,
take the win.
I think Amazon wins the game.
Well, right? Yeah, but that's their own stuff. So,
we have a program with both carriers now, we alternate back and forth. Monday will be one carrier, and Tuesday will be another, and so it works out really well.
So from this little facility in Landers that opened 48 years ago, it's become a very sophisticated operation. I mean, there's a lot of logistics involved and employees and all that. And I have to give you a pat on the back, Chris. You've matured that place wonderfully. And it's a big bonus to the Morongo Basin, and you are a big bonus to the Morongo Basin. Wait a minute, Chris Gubler is speechless? Somebody write that down.
Well, thank you, Gary, and I think that, like you, we've kept up with the technology, and unfortunately for me, I'm spending more time in front of a computer than being in the greenhouse, and now I'm starting to wind down in my career as Kelsey takes over, so I'm getting back in the greenhouse and getting back to what I really enjoy inside.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to Chris Gubler about the Morongo Basin Orchid Festival, how it came to be and what it is and all that kind of stuff. But first, we're going to take a quick little break. We'll be back with more of the Z1077 Up Close Show. Our number for you to call is 760-366-8471. Our producer is Michelle Alley. I'm Gary Dignot, and we'll be right back.
There's something scary at Tortoise Rock, Saturdays in October. Join us from 5 to 11 p.m. for creepy crawling hot seats. One winner every 15 minutes wins up to $1,500 free play, and Club 29 members at the Winner Slot Bank will win $25 free play. That's scary amazing. Friday night at the Rock continues. This Friday, one of these nights will be playing your favorite Eagles hits. The smoker's still cooking up ribs and chicken before the free outdoor show. Grab some food and rock with us. 8 p.m. Fridays, Tortoise Rock Casino. This place rocks.
Treat your taste buds to the King's Hawaiian Pork and Slaw Sandwich, back for a limited time at Firehouse Subs. Slow-smoked pulled pork, melted pepper jack cheese, and sweet and tangy slaw on a toasted King's Hawaiian roll. Make it a meal by pairing it with their new Tropical Cherry Limeade, a blend of pineapple and cherry with a squeeze of fresh lime. At Firehouse Subs, a portion of every purchase helps provide much-needed life-saving equipment to first responders across the country. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. In the Home Depot Center, Yucca Valley.
Get big deals on big tire brands now. Where else? Big O Tires. Like up to $170 in savings on Michelin and BF Goodrich tires with installation purchase through October 29th. Or get a full synthetic oil change, including tire rotation, just $69.99. Plus zero interest financing for up to 1 year. That's up to $170 off select Michelin and BF Goodrich. Or $69.99 full synthetic oil change, including tire rotation. Big O Tires. Yucca Valley, Bermuda Dunes, Cat City. Find your store at BigOTires.com.
Sue's Health Food, committed to your good health.
This is Cody Joseph from The Morning Show with Cody and Jeff. Sue's Health Foods is a regular stop for me. I can get staples there that I can't find at the grocery store. Everything from booch to nooch, as Jeff likes to say. Cashews in bulk, miso paste, local honey, and sweet treats for my kids. They really like the fruit chews from the bulk bins. The bulk bins are probably our favorite part of the store, and the employees are always so friendly and helpful. We couldn't make half the recipes we love without the ingredients we get from Sue's. My family has been shopping there for years, and the quality and care we have gotten has always been top-notch. I love going there, and I love supporting a local business that has given so much to our community for so many years.
Sue's Health Food.
And we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show. It is 10:18. I'm Gary Dignot. Our guest this morning is Chris Gubler, third generation orchid grower and owner of Gubler Orchids in Landers. And we've been talking a little bit about the history. And so over the 48 years, when did you actually take control of the operation from your dad?
I took up the operation from my father in 1988 when he was diagnosed with cancer of the pancreas.
And so since 1988, you've been building that business up and making these contacts with these stores all over the country, and that's quite an accomplishment. How many employees do you have at Gubler Orchids?
43.
Okay, so you're probably one of the largest employers at Landers.
Well, that's between the two nurseries. So Landers is about 10. Yeah.
Well, you can count them both. I mean, they're kind of a bit, well, they're the same stretch of desert. Lucerne Valley isn't really that far from here, so.
35 miles.
Yeah, okay. 35 miles from your nursery in Landers to your nursery.
Yes.
Yeah. Not so bad. Get one of those little drone helicopters. You just bop right back and forth. So, so Chris, when did the idea for the Morongo Basin Orchid Festival come? Now, I know this is the, depending on who you ask, the 27th annual, but there was a COVID year, so it's actually the 28th year. And what happened 28 years ago that gave you the spark of this idea?
I ran out of excuses.
Ha!
The Landers Chamber of Commerce back then wanted to have a orchid festival, a festival showcasing the orchids so we could attract new people to the area to promote Landers. And, you know, this was right after the earthquake. So I said, well, we're not ready for it. We can't do it. I really wasn't in the mindset of volunteering my time to do something that I make a living from. And that was a big hurdle for me. And finally, I gave in. And we did that first festival. As you know, you were right there with me.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what to do with the money. So we used the money to have the Polynesian dancers, the safaris. Remember that?
Yeah, I remember the safaris.
And then in the
Jim Pash.
Right, yeah. Jim Pash. And so we did these things, and that's what we did with this money. And then we had 9/11, and we gave all the money to the United Way for the
for the relief efforts.
Yeah, for the Twin Tower disaster. And so that was the beginning. And so then we partnered with Rotary to run the outdoor activities, you know, the food and the beverage and entertainment. And so that's been growing, and that's been a good partnership.
Now, for many years, the Orchid Festival, the grounds that were used were the grounds that were like behind the nursery. You've since moved them to the west side. Was that just for space?
Well, initially that was an idea from Pat Grady, and we decided not to do it because the infrastructure wasn't there yet. And then we had a carnival come in, and we were forced to move that way. And then that expanded it to the front, and that's where we are today.
So the modern-day Morongo Basin Orchid Festival is a fairly sophisticated event, and is a huge boon for local nonprofits. I don't think people realize this, but all of the orchids that are sold over the weekend, Gubler Orchids doesn't take a penny. That is all distributed out to the nonprofits. I'm going to talk about how that works. But how many nonprofits do you have this year who are going to be participating in the Morongo Basin Orchid Festival?
We have 17.
Okay, so 17 local nonprofits. And how does that work? How do they make money there for those nonprofits?
Well, first, the goal of the festival is to have these nonprofits have a 10x10 booth to showcase what they do. There's a lot of organizations that we have no idea what they do. And so every purchase that you make, you get a Rotary buck. And it's a percentage thing. It's about 10%. So these Rotary bucks are basically votes for the nonprofits. So as you deposit these Rotary bucks in the various organizational...
So there's a little can for Morongo Basin Unity Home, a little can for Reach Out, little can right. for each of those nonprofits. People put their Rotary bucks in there,
right.
And you tabulate that.
Correct. We tabulate that, and then the top three vote getters get a majority of the proceeds, and then we take the rest of those and we guarantee at least $1 for every Rotary buck, but generally it's more than that so that we can give a good boost for every organization.
So not only are they getting some visibility, to many of them it's become their big fundraiser.
To some of them it is, and it's also a great place to recruit new members to join the organization. So we've heard many times where an organization got one or two new members because they were there at the festival, and those people wanted to be a part of that.
And it's a great outreach, especially nowadays when there's a lot of new residents to the Morongo Basin. Those new residents are starting to come out in our communities, and they don't know the local nonprofits. You know, they may have heard of the American Heart Association or the American Lung Association, but there's Hearts of Yucca Valley, and there's, you know, there's these local organizations, so it gives a chance for those organizations to put themselves out and for people to see them. I'm always fascinated. I take my time and just kind of go very slowly amongst all the booths because I kind of, some of the organizations, you don't see them much, and you get a chance to talk to them. What are you doing? How's it working out? And it's fascinating. And it's always, they're all very, 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 very friendly. It's always kind of fun to walk amongst the booths.
So, yeah, absolutely.
And I'm learning stuff, so.
Me too. I spend about an hour going through and visiting the various booths and seeing what they do. I know we have like the Ham Radio Club this year. It's new to the festival. And So I don't really know what they do entirely, but I'm going to learn this.
Oh, the hams? Oh, they're great. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of the hams.
Yeah.
Come the earthquake, and I'm going to ask you about the earthquake. We actually had hams here in our lobby of Z1077, and then there was another ham operator in the sheriff's lobby in San Bernardino, and we were actually doing dispatching over the FM radio of these hams. And so if there's ever a catastrophe or a horrible weather event or an earthquake or something like that, the hams are the guys you want to be friends with because they get that communication, and many times they're essential to the communities who are being affected by those catastrophes. The hams are there taking care of business. So we're huge supporters of hams, so yay for them. The earthquake, let's talk about that, because that was almost existential for you. It was a big turnaround in your business. Tell us what happened at Gubler Orchids during the 1992 earthquake.
Well, we were a mile from the epicenter, so we really took a big, big hit. And the water tanks shifted like, 2 feet and broke all the water lines. We didn't have water. Plants were all over the floor. It got very hot inside. And it was a real turning point in my life. And when we assessed the damage, I sat down with my mother and I said, we can throw in the towel and I'll be fine.
So it came that close to actually going out of business.
It was a decision that we had to look at. And my mother didn't hesitate. And she goes, go for it, redo it. And we were really struggling. And at that time, Barbara Reardon came, the supervisor, and she asked how it was going. And I told her, well, we didn't qualify for FHA because we had too many employees and we weren't a small business because we're a farm. And she said she would help. And we were the first business in San Bernardino County to get a disaster loan. And that really helped us finish the process of rebuilding. And more importantly, Gary, it really made me choose who I was at that point. It was like, now I can rebuild this the way I see it, the way I was taught in school. And that was like my rebirth. And that's how Gubler Orchids has really started taking off.
So really, the earthquake was an existential event for Gubler. And that was a decision to go on or throw in the towel. So your decision was to go on, but you made it better and bigger and made it more sense. What's different about the operation now than before the earthquake?
Well, first off, if you go up to the festival this weekend, you can see the rolling tables, and then look underneath and you'll see these troughs. Well, in my father's time, he was growing the orchids in the troughs. And it wasn't a very good utilization of space. So we went from 50% growing efficiency to 82. That's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah.
That was a number one change. We also were open to new ideas with lighting and grow lights and that type of thing. And it really made a big difference. And, of course, computers started taking off.
Chris was chuckling when he came in because when we first got involved, we were playing 45s here at Z1077, and now he's looking at all this computer equipment in here. So,
right.
Yeah. I finally threw away all those 45s. It broke my heart, but they had been well used. So let's talk about entertainment. We joked a little bit about the safaris being at the earlier Orchid Festival, but they were. Jim Pash, the leader of the safaris, lived in Yucca Valley and was great about coming out to the community. And I remember he used to pick people out of the crowd to do the drum solo for Wipeout.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of fun.
That was fun.
Now, it has gotten more sophisticated. Who's on the entertainment stage for Friday and Saturday at the Landers Orchid Festival?
Well, on Saturday, we have Dave Garcia and the Glyphs, and he plays locally in Joshua Tree. We're trying to find more Morongo Basin musicians. And so he'll be performing on Saturday. And then...
The Dave Garcia or Bob Garcia?
Oh, you got me, man.
Sorry, I think it's Bob.
Bob Garcia.
There you go. Got you, Bob. I got your back, Bob.
Sorry about that.
It's all right, yeah.
And then on Sunday we have, I'm having a senior moment.
You're having more entertainment.
Yeah. That's a good one. That's a big band, and Brown, the Jan Brown Band.
Oh, okay, Jan Brown Band.
Yeah, so they'll be performing on Sunday, and we're really excited to have them because they have a lot of equipment and great sound. And
now, if you're listening and wondering about this, this is free. It does not cost you to come to the Morongo Basin Orchid Festival, nor does it cost you to enjoy the entertainment. I mean, there's food there and beverages. We're going to talk about that. And, of course, everybody goes away with – my wife does her yearly renewal of her orchid garden, so – I have to laugh about, we're talking about the care and feeding of orchids a little bit, I have to laugh. Chris walked in to come on the air here, and one of our DJs has a couple of orchids on his desk, and they're in pretty bad shape.
They're not cactus, you gotta water them.
You gotta water them. I'm gonna come back to the care and feeding of orchids in a little bit, but I want to talk more about the actual events. We've got the entertainment going on, and orchid beer, when did that start?
Wow, you know.
I had a glass of orchid beer last year. It was really good.
Yeah, you know, Dario at Joshua Tree Brewery, he challenged me a few years ago to have an orchid that he could brew beer with. And so we did the Sherry Baby beer, and it was a huge hit. I mean, there was a line to get the beer.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. And so then he challenged me again a year ago, and we came up with the Golden Pixie, which is an IPA. And that's one of the first fragrant Phalaenopsis, and it actually won an award at the show at the same time. And so we're bringing that back. And then this year it's a Maxillaria cocoa, which is, they call it the coconut orchid. And he's made a very interesting a brew out of those flowers.
So if you're a brew lover and into beer, this is your chance to have some absolutely original, completely local originated beer from Joshua Tree Brewery based on orchids from Gubler Orchids.
Right. And, you know, for everyone to know, their generosity is tremendous. Every orchid beer, all those proceeds go to the nonprofits as well. So they're a big donor to the festival now.
Let's talk about, well, the other things that are there for people to eat and drink. Can you tell us an idea of what kind of food's going to be available?
Well, we have the barbecue from Loving Smoke, Jorge's barbecue. So we have pork ribs, pulled pork, brisket. We have gourmet hamburgers this year that are going to be available. We have hot dogs, ice cream. The Landers Elementary School has their funnel cakes. And, you know, they do a tremendous business with that funnel cake. It's one of their big fundraisers of the year. So we have a whole array of that. Lemonade, teas, sodas, water, of course. So there's something for everybody.
Let's talk about orchids a little bit, okay? Most people look at orchids and go, oh, man, those are hard to take care of. But they're really not, and they really do well in a household. What do people do wrong with their orchids, Chris, and what do they do right with their orchids?
Well,
I
mean, overwatering is the number one reason that orchids don't do well. And what happens is people overwater their orchids and the root system begins to die. And then people see the leaves start going limp and they give it more water. Orchids need to be watered every 7 to 10 days. If it's in a clear pot, the roots will start turning white when the orchid needs water. And the minute you water it, the roots will turn green again and everybody's happy. So overwatering is the number one culprit.
So about every 7 to 10 days is right. When you should water. Now, should you soak it every 7 to 10 days or just drip a little bit? What kind
you
of
want
watering?
To give it a heavy watering so that you leach out the salts that are in the water supply. And you should feed them about once a month or every second watering. The people will say, well, I had an orchid and it doesn't bloom. So there's two reasons why they don't bloom. One is there's not enough light, and the other one is you keep your house warm. And by keeping it warm, let's say 74 all the time, it's not cool enough to trigger the flowering.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, this is something that we have discovered. And so this time of year, especially out here, if you put your orchid in a covered patio area, you give it that cold treatment of about 60, 58, 56, and do that for a few weeks, and then about a month later, you should see flower stems coming out.
Okay, so all of you who have these orchids that have been sitting on your desk for months and months, here's Chris telling you how to get them to bloom.
Right, right.
Now, I don't know if it's an old wives' tale or if it's true, but my wife believes it. She keeps her orchids in our bathroom because the bathroom gets the moisture from the shower. Does that work with the orchids?
Well,
a little humidity
never hurt anybody. Okay. But the house overall is pretty humid compared to being outside. So the bathroom adds more humidity, and that obviously the plant will thrive a little bit better. But I think it's more of a wives' tale than anything else.
Okay. I'll keep telling it anyway. So let's go back to basics. Okay, so when you get your orchid, you want to water it every 7 to 10 days, a nice heavy watering. The roots will turn green when they've got water. And then if you want it to bloom, give a little coolish air, you say in the upper 50s, lower 60s.
Correct.
And that'll make them bloom.
As a matter of fact, if you go to the festival this year, we have an orchid called the Nobile Dendrobium, in which we've tricked into flowering this time of year. Naturally, it blooms in February, March. And right now, we have a whole bunch that we're experimenting with, giving them a cold treatment and keeping them cool during the budding process, because if it gets too hot, it turns into a kiki, which is a little baby orchid plant.
All right. Now we know what a kiki is. So.
Right.
So, Chris, it's a fun, and Chris, I can tell that you like the science, the botanist part of growing orchids, because as soon as I ask you those questions, you light up. I think you'd rather talk about that than the logistics of shipping out the plants. I have a feeling about that. And let's talk about the orchids, the quality of the orchids. The American Orchid Society is doing a judged orchid show. Now, who enters that show, and how does that work for the festival?
Anybody can enter into the show. As a matter of fact, the more people that enter, the better. And don't hesitate or be afraid, because there's volunteers there that will help you get your orchid properly set up to be judged. It does have to have a name, and all our orchids generally have a tag in it with the name of the plant. So it has to be a named plant, and it has to be in good health. You can't bring it in with a lot of bugs. Or
the one on Lee's desk would not
work. That would not work.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, it's real easy to do, and it's growing every year. It's been growing a little bit because somebody tries it and they win something or they get an honorable mention, and then they tell somebody else, this is real easy to do.
Yeah.
And it's actually a certified judge show. And the president of the American Orchid Society is in Thousand Oaks, and I bumped into him in Taiwan, and he goes, you know, that's what's really cool what you guys are doing out there in Landers, you know, with the judge show and everything, and he's the head guy for the whole society.
How does one judge an orchid? What are they judging it on?
They judge it on a number of qualities, you know, the shape of the flower, the size of the flower, the coloration of the flower, the growth habit of the flower on the stem, the health of the plant. All these things are judged upon. To be a judge, you have to go through a very lengthy process to be certified as an AOS judge. So normally at the festival, we'll get a couple of apprentices that will be learning how to judge as well as part of that program. So not only does it benefit the festival by having a judge show, but we're benefiting these apprentices, and then you know the judging ends about 11:30-12, and then it opens up so people can enjoy the grand champion and all the ribbon awardees,
which becomes another big feature for the Ronga Basin Orchid Festival, because you've got that big show there. Yeah. And then people get to see what the winners are and then what they're looking at and all that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah, that's the neat part of the festival. There's so many components now. And the Orchid Show is actually hosted by the Riverside San Bernardino Orchid Society. So they run that whole component. And then we have the classes.
I was going to ask you about the classes, so because those are very popular. Are there any openings at all? Because usually those go weeks before the festival.
Well, there's still openings, and what we did is in the past we had sign-ups online, and we'd have a bunch of sign-ups, and then people wouldn't show. So now what we do is if you really want to go to the class, you can sign up, and you have to pay. That way they have a good head count so we don't overbook. So the online thing has gone down. But it still fills up when, you know, we do the announcements through the PA. But it's a great class, and that's another example. This Orchid Society comes from Arizona, and they teach the classes. You pick an orchid, you get to learn how to take care of it, you transplant it, and you get to take that home. And the money that they raise from those classes go to educating kids on orchids and veterans and conservation programs throughout the world. It's really a win-win for everybody.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So you could go up to the Orchid Festival, pick an orchid from Gooper Orchids, then take a class on how to take care of it.
Right. They have the orchids laid out. You pick your orchid. You sit at the table. And so it works really, really well.
All right, we got somebody who wants to talk to you, and Kenny, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
And your comment today, Kenny?
It's not really a comment, it's a question.
Okay.
I bought Venus fly traps before from Gubler Orchids. I'm coming out again this weekend. This is about my eighth or ninth time, and I love going there. You guys got pitcher plants now.
Yeah, we have two types of pitcher plants. We have the sweet pitcher plant, which I think we posted on Facebook, and we also have the Nepenthes, and we have some gorgeous Nepenthes this year with really big 6-inch pitchers on them. They're very, very nice.
Yeah, they're huge. I love them. I think they're awesome. My question here is, because we live in such a dry environment, and you have an awesome humidity system going on that I can't compete with, what is the best environment for me to keep that plant living? Should I put it in my windowsill in my bathroom that gets humidity, water, this, that, and the other? I would love to buy one, but I've done the Venus fly traps. They die, and it happens, and I'm good with that. But I like the pitcher plants. They're beautiful. I think they're awesome.
So your question to Chris is, what's the best environment to raise those pitcher plants? Is that your question?
That's pretty much it.
Okay, Chris.
Okay, well, you know, the carnivorous line that we grow, the Venus flytraps, the Nepenthes, the Sarracenias, they're the hardest plants to grow that we sell, believe it or not. And they do require a lot of humidity. You know, the Venus flytrap likes to go dormant in the winter. People think they're dead, but they're really not. They need to be in a cool environment like a daffodil would be because they're a bulb plant. So a bathroom has more humidity than the rest of the house. And in that case, it would be better to have it in the bathroom.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I'm asking. Because I love coming to your shows. They're awesome.
All right.
But I kind of want a pitcher plant, and I got one of those old-style bathrooms that's got a window in it and a sill on it that I can put a plant on it. And I was thinking, that would be really, really cool looking.
All right, Kenny. Well, thanks for calling in, and we'll see you up at the festival.
All right. Thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
All right. We're going to take a quick little break. We'll be back with more of the Z1077 Up Close Show. Our guest in studio today, Chris Gubler, third generation Gubler Orchids. And we'll talk more about the Morongo Basin Orchid Festival this weekend right after these.
Mm-hmm. a trip to the pharmacy should be easy. That's why so many people choose a local community pharmacy instead of a big chain, like Star Pharmacy in Joshua Tree. It's easy to get in and get out with your medications, and they offer one-on-one health-related advice. They get to know their customers and can help manage medications and check for any interactions. Star Pharmacy offers a wide range of over-the-counter supplements, plus durable medical equipment like walkers and wheelchairs. Star Pharmacy, Holly Road, across from the post office, Joshua Tree.
You've heard Think Global, Eat Local. Well, you can't get any more local than with the bounty of fresh fruits and vegetables you'll find every Saturday at the Joshua Tree Certified Farmers Market. Feel a sense of community when you spend your Saturday in Joshua Tree. There are many artisanal products, too. While you're there, stop at JT Health Foods, your informed mind, healthy body connection. They even carry a large selection of organic wines and microbrews and food for your pet. JT Health Foods, open every day for your well-being. Joshua Tree's the place to be.
Ew, Mom, are you washing the dog beds in the same machine we wash our clothes in?
Psst! Tell her to take them to the all-new Alamo Laundromat 29 Palms with specially designated pet machines. You don't have to worry about all that hair. So much hair. Download the Speed Queen app and you could win part of their $1,000 giveaway. More ways to enter, too. Stop in and their on-site attendant will show you. The Alamo Laundromat. Win that money. You could do a lot of laundry with that kind of cash. Drawing October 14th, so hurry. Adobe Road, 29 Palms. Plenty of parking in the back.
And we are back with the Z1077 Up Close Show 1047. Our guest is today, Chris Gubler of Gubler Orchids in Landers, home of this weekend's Morongo Basin Orchid Festival. So, Chris, while we're let's talk about more nitty gritty with the plants. Of course, Kenny just asked about his Venus flytraps and his pitcher plants. The orchid is not the typical plant we may think of where you have a seed and you put the seed in the ground and then it grows. What is the process by which the orchid becomes one? You know, what do you go through? Because there's cloning. It's really complicated.
Well, the way the process works these days is there's breeders, and the breeders will.
So they're not growers; they're breeders.
They're breeders. They're not growers. They're okay. Breeders. So you have the breeders. They have a facility usually about the size of one of our greenhouses, and they make the new hybrids. And what they do is they quickly send that to a laboratory to germinate the seed.
Now, how does one make a hybrid? What is that process?
Well, you'll have to come to the festival and see.
Ah, there you go. Good answer.
Okay. Anyway, you have to pollinate them. And, you know, when you do the pollination, you have to label it who the mom, who the dad is, that type of thing. And then you quickly send that to the laboratory. And instead of making 10,000, you make only a small run of 200. You try to grow, you super grow those as quickly as you can, and you bloom them. And then the breeder will then look at those flowers and determine which flowers would be good for cloning. Then they cut that stem off, and at each node on the stem is a meristem inside, and then that is harvested in the laboratory to clone. So then they clone 200 of these and do the same process and grow them again. And then they make sure that the clone stays true. So, for example, a pink doesn't turn purple, that it stays the same color as the original clone. And once they've determined that genetic stability, they'll cut all those 200 stems and send it to the laboratory and make maybe 10 to 20,000 plants in flasks. At that point, they take the mother plant to the show and show it. And if it wins awards, everybody wants it. And just like any award-winning dog or horse, the price goes up.
Is there a holy grail in orchid breeding? For example, is there a black orchid or a green orchid with yellow spots or something that everybody's trying to get to? There's a big holy grail of orchid?
Well, the holy grail would be black.
It is the black orchid.
And black has been achieved in a couple of different types of orchids, but not on the common everyday orchid. It hasn't been achieved yet.
Now, and just so people realize, Chris goes all over the world to look at orchids. You spend a lot of time in Taiwan and with other orchid growers. What are you doing when you go over there?
Well, when we go to Taiwan, we're, first of all, an honorary judge at the show. And then
so you judge the orchids in Taiwan?
Right.
Okay.
And we make, I get criticized, but I make notes so that we make a list of hybrids that we want to bring bring to the
U.S.
So
you're not just judging the orchid show in Taiwan, you're taking a look at what's coming up in the market. So,
right.
So Google Orchids may want to make that as part of their line.
Exactly. And we've actually, I've selected 2 out of the last 8 grand champions for the show. And we took one of them and we brought it to market within 8 months, which was really fast. And both of those will be at the festival. We have an award-winning section now of orchids that have won awards.
So you've got an orchid that won an award in a Taiwan show, and then you take it back and make clones of them, or do you buy the clones?
How
does
buy the clones.
You buy the clones.
The breeder's smart enough now that, you know, we're not got to have it now. So they make sure that they have plenty of material in the flasks so that when they do show the orchid, they can sell it right away. They don't have to wait another 2 years to get that champion.
So. Now, are you buying the rights to that clone? Is it like a copyright thing? If someone works and comes up with a special individual orchid, how do those rights pass hands?
Well, there's if it's something really exceptional, they'll patent it. And there's plant patents that you can get. There's some Venus flytraps that are patented, actually. And growers tend to shy away from that because it's really hard to prove the DNA and all that. But some of them are patented, and you get the right. You have to buy the rights for that.
But if you decide you're going to use a clone of an orchid that a grower came up with in Taiwan, you pay them for the right to do that.
We pay them for the clones.
Yeah,
we're buying
okay.
the plants.
So you buy
that's
the plants.
Included with the price. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, great. All right, we're going to take one more little break, and then we're going to talk more about what we're going to experience and see. And I want to talk about wine tasting and shopping and some other stuff going on at this weekend's Bronco Basin Orchid Fest. So we'll be right back. Don't go away.
Is your Medi-Cal ending? Recently notified you're no longer eligible for Medi-Cal? Did you know Covered California helps you get quality health insurance, in many cases at no cost to you? Hi, this is Sherry Fansler, Certified Enrollment Counselor at Morongo Basin Healthcare District. I can help you navigate these Medi-Cal changes and transition to a quality health plan through Covered California, in many cases at no cost to you. Call me for free assistance, 760-366-1546.
When you're drinking a frozen beverage from McDonald's, your brain may not like how refreshingly cold it is, but the rest of your body, oh yes, it's gonna relish every moment of it, because there are drinks, then there are drinks from McDonald's.
Now get any size of our frozen drinks for $1.49, like frozen Fanta Blue Raspberry or the new Hawaiian Punch. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Get a preview of the artists participating in the Highway 62 Open Studio Art Tours. Visit the 29 Palms Art Gallery starting October 7th to see multiple works in one location at this collective show. With over 175 artists being featured in this year's tours, this is a perfect chance for you to decide which art studios you'd like to visit. The 29 Palms Art Gallery is open Fridays from 11 to 3, Saturdays and Sundays from 10 to 5, and while you're there, pick up your copy of the Highway 62 Art Tours catalog and don't forget to download the app.
ZZ Top Raw Whiskey Tour. Saturday, October 21st, 8 p.m., Fantasy Springs Resort Casino. Playing all their classic hits. ZZ Top. Saturday, October 21st, 8 p.m., Fantasy Springs Resort Casino. ZZ Top. Live, rocking you like no one else can. On sale now at fantasyspringsresort.com or call 1-800-827-2946. For more info, go to zztop.com.
It's got me under pressure.
ZZ Top. Saturday, October 21st, 8 p.m., Fantasy Springs Resort Casino.
And we are back. It is 10:55. I'm Gary Dignot. Our guest is Chris Gulber from Gubler Orchids and Landers, and we're talking about the Morongo Basin Orchid Festival. Now, Chris, I mentioned before we went to break that there's a wine tasting. How's that work?
Well, the Yucca Valley Sunset Rotary has a wine tasting program. You can have four tastings. We have wines, Riesling, a Sauvignon Blanc, a Chardonnay, a Pinot Noir? Right, that would be the one. We have a red blend and, of course, a good cab. And you can pick four of those wines and give it a taste. You can get a glass. If you want, we can open a bottle and you can sit down in the adult pavilion, the Rotary Pavilion, and enjoy your wine. It's an adults-only pavilion now.
So. And the weather's supposed to be gorgeous this week.
Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
So absolutely beautiful. So, Chris, you mentioned Sunset Rotary. We talk about Gubler Orchids and the Morongo Basin Orchid Festival. This is put on by the Sunset Rotary Club of Yucca Valley. It's probably their biggest project of the year.
No, it's absolutely their biggest project. And, you know, Gary, as you know, we started off as such a little thing, you and I and the High Desert Star. And then all of a sudden it's grown, and Sunset Rotary has taken a big portion of that. And, you know, now we have the Arizona Orchid Society doing the classes and the San Bernardino Riverside Orchid Club running the show. There's so many components, and it's all to benefit the Morongo Basin charities. And that's what it's about, taking something beautiful home and enjoying it, and yet you've helped so many people.
How much money was generated last year that went to local charities?
$38,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
So $38,000 went to local charities, people here in the Morongo Basin who are doing things to help. You can't get much more local than that, Chris.
Right, right. Well, there is one exception. The Orchid Societies do get some of that. Well,
but they're a nonprofit organization.
Right, right. So yeah. You know, anybody that's participating in the festival, obviously, is going to get something. And the more you participate, the more you get.
How do I get there? How do I park?
Okay, parking, we're fortunate enough to have 8 Marines that will help with the parking and security. You go Highway 247 to Ricci Road. You'll see a big sign at Ricci. You make a right, drive down a couple of miles to Belfield, make a left, and you'll see the nurseries catty-corner to the Integratron.
What is Chris Gubler's favorite part about the Morongo Basin Orchid Festival?
You know, my favorite part is I'm amazed on how many people come and how many people have a wonderful time. They just enjoy themselves, and it's just such a easygoing event. So peaceful.
It is peaceful, and it has become, I think, the number one go-to. I mean, people, I love that thing. I go every year. I just love the Orchid Festival. Did you get a count last year how many people you've got? What's your largest crowd?
More than 100. I'm really bad at that. Our best guess is we get about 2,000 people that go through. We kind of are basing that on sales tickets and how many people per sales ticket. But I think that for me, it's humbling to see how many people work together to make the event happen and how peaceful everybody is, and to see old friends.
On that, thank you, Chris, for coming in to Morongo Basin Orchid Festival this weekend. Tomorrow from 10 to 5 and Sunday from 10 to 3 at Google Orchids at 2200 Belfield Boulevard in Landers. We'll be back next week with more up close. Until then, thanks for listening. Drive carefully and God bless. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Up Close, a weekly talk and interview program presented in the public interest by Z1077 News. Join Gary Dignot again next Friday at 10 for more Up Close.